Tonight we want to continue with Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. The righteous deed of the people of the kingdom. The righteous deeds of the people of the kingdom. And it's very interesting that quickly we see this heading. In addition to other things, the most important of them is prayer. So you begin to ask, is prayer actually righteous deed? Is it in our concept to see prayer as a righteous deed of the people of the kingdom? Yeah. In chapter 6, verse 1, it says, take heed. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Just stop it there. It starts by saying that our righteous deeds has a reward from God Himself. So, right from the beginning, we see that the one that we do this righteous deed is the one who's going to reward us. So, if I do a righteous deed towards James, and I have this feeling that he will reward me, that means that there is no reward for me from God, isn't it? So the basic thing is, when we do our righteous deed, we should take heed. Verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Anytime we do anything that puts us in the light, we already have our reward. And so, when we do our charitable deeds as the people of the kingdom, we should not desire to be seen. And this is very important, and it makes sense. Because if we are seen, then people will go, oh, this brother is a good brother. And the Bible says, you already have your reward. Looks like that's wasted, right? If people would see my charitable deed and they praise me, that means it ends there. Looks like it's wasted. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Yeah. Sometimes we do quite some things, and then unconsciously we seek reward from men. And sometimes you even do something to somebody and you're wondering, why didn't he thank me, right? Not that it's bad to thank, we should show appreciation. But the motive of the doer is not to be seen by men. And this becomes much more important when we're dealing with the matter of prayer. In verse 5, it says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray they like to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. There's a lot of confusion about what the Lord is talking about prayer being a charitable deed. If prayer is speaking to God our Father, then we pray to Him literally every time. After all, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So we pray to the Father. But as a church or as priests, when we pray, we are actually bringing men to God or interceding for people. This kind of prayer, we should not project ourselves. Because when we do, like I come to Stephen and I say, Stephen, I'm praying for you. How do you feel? How do you feel towards me? Yeah. You would say, I must be a good brother, isn't it? So there's a reward for me, right? But what if I'm praying for you and you don't know I'm praying for you?
Then your reward is God.
Praise the Lord. So we should, you know, there are some basic things. Who gets the glory? If God gets the glory, then we will get a reward from Him. You know, while going through this, there's a verse that came into my mind in Proverbs chapter 19, I think in verse 17. I also thank the Lord that my note, I forgot it, so. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. Amen. I read, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. If we have this mind that I like to paint a picture, when somebody is in need, he prays to God, isn't it? Yeah, I do pray to God when I'm in need. Yeah? And you're praying to God by faith. And then, I believe God will do it, right? And then God touches Ronnie, and he does that for me. In that little illustration, if I didn't see Ronnie do it, what will I do? I'll thank God, right? Even if I see Ronnie do it to me, but that's what I've prayed to God, right? I'm so thankful to God. But this scripture says that Ronnie has actually solved that problem for God, right? Because you really asked God. You didn't ask Ronnie, right? So when you do that, you have lent to God. And God said, just like where we read, I will repay. Yeah? And this should govern our attitude towards charitable deeds. That we are meeting as kingdom people, that we are meeting God's need. And if we are meeting God's need, then that means that God Himself is the one who will reward us. Sometimes, when we do good things to people and they don't acknowledge or reward, we feel bad. And that also negates this particular principle, because I was expecting, yeah, maybe Tiff, I did something for Tiff, I'm expecting her to reward me, right? Unfortunately, if she doesn't reward me, then I'll go and mark it for her, right? She's such an ungrateful sister, right? But I know she's not. Because I was expecting something in return, right? But what if I did it because of the Lord? I will be so happy. Whether she thanks me, even though I know she will thank me, but I know that I have met that need. The same thing generally when we are doing our charitable deed. We should know we are children of the kingdom. And the only way we can do this if we have the realization that it is to God that we are doing it. And so this particular verse in Proverbs chapter 19, every time I remember it and I say, Lord, amen, that when I meet that need, then this verse says, I'm lending to God, and God will surely repay me. In verse 5, he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Sometimes, again, we think that he says, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men, assuredly they have their reward. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret places, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. So when I became a Christian newly, in the church when they pray, I used to feel offended because it looks as if they are repeating the prayers, right? Because I had a religious understanding of this place. The controlling word here is vain repetition. It didn't say to repeat prayer is bad. Because if you remember, in Gethsemane, the Lord prayed the same things repeatedly. So if you are in a burden, if you have a burden, you will pray. You would pray. In fact, the more that you believe the Lord will do it, the more you will come to him. So this place does not say that we shouldn't repeat prayers. It said vain repetition, right? And this is the same thing as saying, making a show of our prayer, right? And sometimes, especially some new ones, they ask, so how do we pray? So how should we pray? Tim, you know how to pray, right? How do we pray? Yeah? We see here, the Lord decided to, in verse 8, he said, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask him. Again, there's another wrong concept. He said, if God knows my need, then he should do it. But the scripture says again in chapter 7, in verse 8, he says, ask and you shall receive. So even though he knows our need, prayer brings us to a situation where we are humbled before God. Have you ever imagined yourself living a life without a need? You will be very proud, believe me. When you don't have a need, you're so proud. But God has made it such that we have to come to him. Yeah, and when we come to him, that disposition that we are coming to our Father, again, also humbles us. Right? Praise the Lord. He gave us a framework, like a model, how we ought to pray. And this is very important. He didn't say, when you pray, recite this. Like I was taught in my elementary and high school days, we recite this, our Father who art in heaven. Yeah? Hallowed be thy name, right? This is not what the scripture says. It's a framework, right? Through which we bring this prayer that is our righteous deed, our charitable deed before the Father. But there's one very important thing we need to realize. The basic line says, our Father in heaven. This is very important. God is our Father. You know, everything changes when we see this. God is our Father. So in prayer, this is how we come to our Father. You don't make a show. Yeah? I know Tim, when he wants to ask me something, he comes and, "Dad, can you give me this?" It's very simple because I'm his father. He doesn't make a show of it. But sometimes I may want to know whether he really needs it. So I say, "Are you sure you need this thing?" And then he go, "Yeah, Dad, I need this." Sometimes he convinces me, and most times he gets it. Sometimes there's a delay, right? "I don't think you need this now," or "you wait for it." The same thing with our Heavenly Father. He's not just our Heavenly Father. He is our loving Father. He says, "If me, being a father, know how to give good gifts to Timothy, how much more?" Have you ever thought of this in regards to prayer? When we want to pray to the Father, we come with this first realization that, first of all, we're coming to our Father. And when we have this realization, even the choice of our words will change. And then, it is no longer vain words. Sometimes when we pray, it sounds like we're making some vain words. One time, I was sharing with somebody, I said, "When you finish prayer, do you remember everything you have prayed? Because it looks like we turn on a knob. And then you just keep saying some things." Is that how you speak to your Father? No. If you want to ask your Father something, first of all, you need it. Secondly, you mean it. If I want to pray for David, I'm going to bring him before our Father. First of all, he is our Father. And I know our Father loves him. Takes us to the next verse. He says, we should acknowledge him. He says, "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come." These three portions relate to God, our Father, and somebody who should, his name should be hallowed. Somebody once asked me, "Why is it that when we pray here, we don't say in Jesus' name?" Has anybody asked you that kind of question before? Mm-hmm. But the truth is that right from the beginning, you're asking in his name. Right? It starts by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, there's no way deep down within you, you're hallowing the Father, that you will not ask what will give him glory. If you really mean your prayer, it is to the Father. At the end, whatever you're asking should give God glory. So, Our request to the Father is also to glorify him. So at the end, I will say in Jesus' name. So what if I tell God, "God, I want you to kill Ronnie in Jesus' name." So you just want me to say in Jesus' name, right? So I can say anything and then end it with "in Jesus' name," just like we are taught in religion. So when I'm praying with some people, at the end of the prayer, they want me to say in Jesus' name. Well, it's okay. I can actually say in Jesus' name. But I also want to make sure that the content of my prayer will give glory to the Father. Other than that, just to append in Jesus' name to it doesn't really make sense. Does it make sense? It doesn't really make sense. What we are praying to the Father is what will glorify the Father's name. So if the content of my prayer doesn't glorify the Father, my saying in Jesus' name doesn't really change it. Like I'm praying, I tell Lord, maybe you should delay your coming until I have gotten married and I have children in Jesus' name. That's not according to the Father's will. It says here, and it's very clear, it says, your kingdom come. And it says, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Actually, in these three lines, we can see that hallowed be thy name tends to refer to God the Father. Your kingdom come refers to the Son. And your will be done on the earth refers to the Spirit. Right? If our prayer have this framework, the content of our prayer is to hallow the Father and ask for the kingdom of the Son and ask for the will of the Spirit to be done, then this is our content. Has met what you said. He said, up till now, you have not asked anything in my name, but ask in my name, right, so that the Father will be glorified. I get through to people, especially children of God who are born again, and when we want to pray, they feel that you have not prayed until you say in Jesus' name. Regardless of the content of my prayer, they are waiting to hear in Jesus' name. But the Lord has given us an example. We pray to our Father who is in heaven. That's our disposition, that it is our Father. It is not to one mighty God who is insensitive to us. He is our loving Father. And that alone builds faith in us. I give an example. If Timothy, my son, is coming to ask me something, he has the faith that I will do it. How many times have we prayed to the Father and we have said things that we don't even believe in? That's vain repetition. We should come to the Father with the faith that He is our Heavenly Father. And then what we ask of Him will glorify Him. If these conditions are met, then I think we have laid the solid foundation for our prayers, not just to be heard, but to be answered. Then he says, after you have done this, and it's very interesting that there's a sequence, we come to the Father. And then he said, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, it's very interesting because to give us today our daily bread also has a lot of faith in it. We were having some fellowship. I said, the greatest problem I have is a problem of anxiety. If we ask for today our daily bread, we have exercised faith towards the Father because He will give us today. When we ask for tomorrow, or we bring our anxieties about the things to come tomorrow, the problem is that when we leave the Father, we are a bit anxious. Is he going to do it for us or not? If I'm praying for a saint in the church, I'm bringing him to our Father. When I bring the saint to our Father, I have the faith that our Father, not just he will hear me, don't forget, I am praying according to his will. If I'm praying that the Lord should strengthen my brother Stephen, I have the faith because I ask according to his will to strengthen Stephen. Our disposition also matters when we are laying down what we want from the Father. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In prayer, we should be humbled to ask the Father to forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses. But that quickly comes with a demand from us. Why? Because I also have forgiven those who trespass against me. Now, this is very important because there's nothing as discouraging as when you finish praying, you don't even believe your prayer. Now, if God is to forgive our trespasses, the basis, this is like a petition. Forgive us our trespasses because we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, if I do not forgive the people who offend me, when I stand before God, I don't know about you, but this is a sense of self-condemnation, right? Maybe my wife did something to me, right? And then I want to pray. I need to forgive my wife. This, I am setting the condition right. God, forgive me my trespasses because the people who trespass against me, I have forgiven them. Now, when you pray like this, you have also helped your faith. Why? Because deep down in you, you're not holding anything against anybody. You can actually demand it from him. Forgive our trespasses according to your promise, because I also forgive those who are trespassed against me. And in this demeanor, we should ask him to lead us not into temptation. This whole world is filled, like John said, that the whole world lies in the sway of the enemy. So, in every aspect, everywhere we see, there are opportunities for us to be tempted. We should consciously tell the Father to lead us not into temptation. How this does in me is that it keeps me very humble. Because sometimes we think we are capable of dealing with Satan. No. We should ask the Father to deliver us. When you make this kind of request before the Father, it means that whatever trial that comes your way is the one you will be able to handle, isn't it? He will not give us the trials and temptation that we cannot handle. Because I have prayed, Father, lead me not into temptation. Basically, coming to the Father, don't forget, I like to emphasize, he is our Father. We should not alienate this from our prayer, that God himself is our Father. So if I'm asking God, forgive me my trespasses, because I forgive those who trespass against me, it means that I believe my prayer when I pray that God would forgive my trespasses. Deliver us from the evil one. The whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. So we should pray that the Father should deliver us from the evil one. And it comes in so many ways, you know. And sometimes we should not feel that, oh, okay, we can handle Satan or we can handle our situations. You know, this attitude shows we only pray for certain things. Some people, when you discuss something with you, it goes by the grace of God. Right? And then I'll respond and say, is there anything that is not by the grace of God? Because there are certain things we think, I can handle this. Right? But this one, I need the grace of God to handle it. Right? But everything we should bring to the Father. And basically, it is our faith. When the Lord was speaking to the disciples, he told them, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain. Be thou cast and be thou cast, be thou be removed and cast into the sea. And it sounded like something difficult. And he says, also pray. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, this is part of the life of the people in the new kingdom. If you flip it back, you will see right from where they were coming, they did not relate to God with such a relationship as a father. And the Lord took his time to explain to them that when we pray, we should relate to God as our Father. And then, if God is really our Father, then it increases faith in us. Because if God is not my Father, when I'm asking him, it's a lot of probability. Yeah? Maybe he will do it, maybe he will not do it. But if I'm asking my Father, I have so much faith that if it is according to his will, if it is for his kingdom, if we pray as a church, the church praying for God's kingdom is praying according to his will. And when we pray according to his will, we have this assurance that he hears us. And if he hears us, he will answer us. So first and foremost, our preparation, our demeanor in praying should be that, first of all, we have faith. We're speaking to our Father. We are acting according to his will. Now, but when we check these boxes, it actually grows our faith. So when we finish praying, then we know that he has heard our petition. And if he hears our petition, he will answer us. Now, if he has not answered, we can remind him. Because this is according to his word. If I'm praying, let's say I'm praying, Lord, like I do pray for my children, like, Lord, I want you to open their eyes for they to know you. This is according to his will. When I pray like this, I'm praying with so much faith. Why? This is according to his will. He wants to gain them. He wants to bring them. So when I pray, when I bring it to him, I have faith that he will hear me. But sometimes it takes time. Then that my faith holds me until he has fulfilled it. And then in continuation, he says, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, everything I have summed here, it's all for his kingdom. Everything is for his kingdom. In James, he says, you ask and you do not receive. Because you want to consume it in your own lust. But But when I ask for God's kingdom, my faith is very strong. You know why? It is alienated. It is not me. When I'm asking God, sometimes when I pray alone, yeah, I pray for my needs. I pray for things like that. But when I pray in a group, praying as a warfare for the kingdom, we ask God concerning his will. In other words, we know his word. We know his will. And then we ask him for that his will to be done. And when we pray like this, I don't know in your experience, but in my experience, I feel so strong. And my faith actually increases. Why? Because I have asked according to his will. Sometimes when I want to ask God the things I am not very sure about, I'm not too certain, right? Like, if I'm looking for a job, right? If I'm looking for a job and I ask the Lord for the job, sometimes I say, Lord, but if it pleases you, right? Give me this job, right? There is this element of, I'm not too sure. Well, because you may have something better for me, right? I'm also submissive to his will, okay? In that, my request, I'm submissive to his will. But when I want to ask God, please come back, my faith is very strong. Why? Because from everything happening around me, I can sense by the Spirit that the Lord will come back. And if I'm praying for the Lord to strengthen a saint, I also pray with so much boldness. Why? Because I have a guarantee in my spirit that it is God's will to strengthen the saint. And when I'm confirming certain things in the scriptures, my faith is very strong. It takes me a little bit through it. There is no way we can pray according to God's will if we do not have the word of God in us. If we do not know his word, how can we pray according to his will? The second line says, thy will be done on the earth. How do you know his will if you don't know his word? So many times we are asking amiss because we don't know what is God's will. Just saying, as an encouragement, when we want our faith to be very strong, we need to ask according to his will. Anytime we ask according to his will, we have this assurance, not just that he has heard us, but that he will do it. Because it's not for me. It is for him. I'll give an example. What if I'm asking Brother David, right? Something that concerns him. Whenever I am this matter, something that comes to my mind is a matter of Hannah. Hannah needed a child because the husband's wife had children and she doesn't have children. We see it in 1 Samuel. One day, Hannah was praying and he told God, and I love this so much, God, you have a need. Thy will be done on the earth. You have a need. Look at this priest, Eli. He's getting old. Very soon, he will die. He has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible says they are sons of Belial. They're not following after God. So God, if Eli passes on today, there will be nobody in your house. Wow. So you say, God, therefore, you need a man in your house. What I'm asking you is, put that male into my womb so that I'll give him to you. This prayer, as simple as it is, has met the basic requirements. And that moved God. And what the Bible says, the response was spontaneous. 1 year after, Hannah had a male child. If our prayer is to address God's need, the answer and the response is spontaneous. Most of the times we pray, it does not really meet God's own need. So it's always for my need, my need, my need. But anytime we touch God, if you're praying for a saint to be established, what do you think will happen? If I'm praying for Ronnie to be established in the church, what do you think will happen? He will answer it. Because there's really, you cannot trace the reward or the glory of that prayer to me. You cannot trace it to me, right? It's actually meeting God's need. We pray according to his will. And in most of our corporate prayers, we must learn how to pray God's need. When we pray for God's need, he would respond spontaneously. Unfortunately, and this is our biggest problem, because this is who we are. This is the fallen nature. Whenever we come to God, it is God, it's me, myself, and I. The unholy Trinity, right? And then we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray and it doesn't happen. Then our faith grows dim. And with time, you begin to lose faith in God. But to grow our faith gradually is when we ask according to his will. When we pray according to God's will, he will do it. Amen. And there's no way we can pray according to his will if we do not know his will. So our demeanor, the way we come to God, also matters. Sometimes when we come, we like have tabled a whole lot of things we want to bring before the Father. Right? So maybe even in the course of the prayer, the Lord is telling us something. Why don't you pray this way? Why don't you pray this way? Then we can hallow him by giving respect to him, and then we pray what is in his heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Seeing prayer as a charitable deed would help us to know that the glory goes to God. Most times, the prayers we have known, I'm not saying it's bad, is a prayer about what God will do for us. Right? Of course, we are in need and we bring it to God. However, for corporate prayers, it is a prayer that meets God's need. When we pray according to his will, he will answer us. Verse 14, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so, We must learn this. There are certain things that we find it very difficult to forgive. But when we come to God, we feel He should forgive everything. Of course He will. But we should also take Him so that we can forgive those who trespass against us. And we should bear in mind that if we do not forgive men the trespasses, God will not forgive our own trespasses. And this is kind of a balancing. When we fast, there's so many confusion about fasting. I know of a group where they like to fast. You know, if you remember, when John the Baptist, when his disciples came to the Lord Jesus, they were wondering, how come your disciples don't fast? But we, John's disciple, we fast. He replied them. He said, when we have the bridegroom, they that have the bridegroom, they don't need to fast. But very soon, he will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. I'd like to read a few verses. Before then, our fasting should be such that we're engrossed in the Father, that we lose taste for the things of this world. This is fast, to deny ourselves the good things because we are distracted because we want to stay with the Father. And there's a principle here. He says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disguise their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Fasting as a charitable deed. If I show you that I'm fasting in such a way that you think, oh, Brother Osi is a spiritual brother, or maybe I do not eat, I suffer myself to pray, I have my reward. But to fast in such a way as to gain the Lord is such that, I read a few verses here, it says, verse 17, I continue, it says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When we are consumed with God's presence, that we forget certain good things. And when I say good things, it's those things that used to distract us. Like we remember, if we turn our mind back, he said, those who are pure in heart, they will see God, right? So if we fast, not as a show, because the basic thing is we don't want to attract men to ourselves, but we are consumed with God's presence, so much so that you do not remember even your good food. This is when we really experience God, and this is the fasting that is acceptable to the Father. There's a verse I want to make reference to here. Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Okay. When they came to him, and then John the Baptist's disciples I was trying to look for the verse. It says, time will come when they will fast. Now, today, when we don't have the Lord's presence with us, we deny ourselves of pleasures so that we can gain his presence. Because physically, when he was with the disciples, there was no need. The Lord is with us. He's here with us. But sometimes we feel that we have lost his presence. Then we are attracted to labor in his word. And then when we labor in his word, then we can gain him back by denying ourselves about the pleasures. And one of the easiest things to can deny ourselves is food, because that's what we relate with as fast. But there are other things. How about spending time? Maybe to watch a movie, maybe to play a video game. You want to use that time because of the need to spend time with the Father. Now, this is the fasting, because the desire is for you to gain Christ. The desire is for you to gain more God. You desire to get for you to gain his righteousness. So we spend time, and then we lose appetite for food, because the appetite for God consumes that appetite for food. This God says, this is the fasting that I want. And today, if we sense that we are not having his presence, then we can deny ourselves some of the pleasures that we have so that we can spend time with him and have some good time to fellowship and to gain him more. In summary, in doing charitable deeds, one of the key things we must realize is that the glory must go to God. If the glory has to do with us, then we have already received the reward here on earth. But the essence of our charitable deed is that so that we will glorify God, and then we will receive the reward. Now, but if man gives us the reward today, then we do not. We have already received our glory. We have already received our reward today. And our attitude towards doing any charitable deed would be as if we are filling up that gap. We fill the gap, and the person who receives that charitable deed gives glory to God. If that person gives glory to us, not that it's not good for us to say thank you, but he feels that God has met the need. By so doing, we are establishing God's kingdom here, because he, as the king, he is the one that meets the need of the saints through the saints. So he administers his kingdom, which is the church. There used to be some practical ways of sometimes God clearly tells you that there is this need. We fill up that need without really showing that it is us. By so doing, God is glorified. And at the end, we will receive his reward. Any charitable deed that draws attention to us, and there are so many kinds of charitable deeds. It could be some good activities in the church. It could be physical giving. It could be meeting a particular need. That need shouldn't draw attention to us, but should be to glorify God the Father. At the end, God will reward us. Praise the Lord.